Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Join Molly Blaisdell and Susie Rodriguez, associate producers for the Lowell Thomas award-winning NPR podcast, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, as they explore the glorious culture of Bali. Celebrated worldwide for its beautiful beaches, clear waters, and diverse marine species, the island of Bali, home to the majority of India's Hindu community. It also contains thousands of religious temples that range in size from mega complexes to tiny home-based structures. Join Molly and Susie for an exploration of the role played on Bali by four different kinds of Hindu temples and learn about the five major religions of Indonesia. We'll also visit with a performance of the legendary Barong dance, talk to a professional theatrical mask maker who creates the dance's fantastical masks. We'll also visit a traditional cultural village where we join warriors in ancient dances and be entertained by Bali's ancient gamelan music.
I'm Molly Blaisdell, associate producer of Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer. Please join me in Indonesia, along with Susie Rodriguez, my colleague and fellow associate producer.
Thank you, Molly. Come along as we visit three Indonesian islands, Bali, Flores, and Komodo. They represent only a tiny portion of this diverse country, an island nation of more than 17,000 islands, spread over 741,000 square miles of water in Southeast Asia and Oceania. Indonesia is one of the world's largest countries. This has been my first visit to Indonesia, and what I've been most amazed by is the sheer beauty of this part of the world. It's gorgeous, with a warm tropical climate, see-through waters, and white sands. What's impressed you the most so far, Molly?
Apa kabar. We've been treated to so much hospitality, culture, and history while in Bali. Everywhere we go, we are greeted by the friendliest people on earth and stimulus that tempt all our senses, including music, cuisine, sights, and tactiles. Some of my favorite places have been the lush rice fields, which can be found in the northern field of Jatiluwi. Of course, there's the spiritual temples, which are located throughout the entire island, but we visited Taman Ayun Temple, which is one of the largest in Bali. Additionally, we went to the Taman Nusa Cultural Park, and this was a great site because it provides a super overview and history of Bali's legendary past. However, I must say that the Panglipuran traditional village was my favorite adventure thus far. We enjoyed rice wine with the chief before we took in a private show with the villagers who sang and danced and included us in all their traditions. Lastly, we also enjoyed the traditional Barong dance performance at Batu Bulan Village, which had us all rocking in our seats. Hey, Susie, can you tell us a little bit about the Barong dance traditions?
The Barong dance is derived from an ancient Balinese myth. The Barong is a creature that looks something like a lion, but maybe three or four times the size. He's immense. He's the king of the spirits and leads the forces of good. He's the enemy of Rangda, the demon queen. The battle between Barong and Rangda represents the eternal battle between good and evil, and that's something that's found in all cultures worldwide. The dance is very dramatic, with huge, bright costumes which flash with jewel-like ornaments. The traditional gamelan music is clangy and clashing and plays with your emotions. It's quite an experience to watch this play, let me tell you. I was exhausted when it was over.
This is a scene in the fourth act where Sidiwa is about to kill Rangda.
Could you please introduce yourself, tell us your name, and what is your title with the dance troupe?
Yeah, he is artist. Especially, he make mask. For the Barong.
Were some of the masks partial masks. That's what it seemed like to me. They covered part of the face, but the people's eyes and mouths were showing. Is that true?
Yeah. Okay, so the typical of the figure of the Barong mask, mm-hmm. It is not a real animal, but it is a kind of mythological animal. It can be looks like tiger, looks like lion, looks like bear, yeah. And when the people make that, they must choose a special day. And before they carve it, they must fasting, so they don't eat for some few days. In order, there is special natural power inside of the barong itself.
I see. So then their face expands and fits the mask really closely.
Looks like alive.
One of the most amazing aspects of the entire barong dance, that whole performance, had to do with the incredible masks that the characters wore. They were unlike anything I've ever seen. They seemed to fit, many of them, exactly onto the human face. They were half mythical creature, half human. Really, really something stunning. And we were lucky enough to interview, after the performance, the man who makes these masks.
Thank you, Susie. Now let's hear from some of the other locals.
Well, my name is Amnom.
Amnom.
Amnom. No. A-N-O-M.
That's right. Amnom. Yeah. And that means youth?
Yes, forever young. Could be something like that.
Yes, okay. And tell me a little bit about your relationship to Indonesia. Did you grow up here? How many years have you been here and your family been here? Just tell me a little bit about your history with Indonesia.
Okay. So I'm to be a part of the Indonesian people. So as you know, Indonesia to be the biggest archipelago on the world, right? So there are more than 254 different ethnic, different local languages, not just the accent or dialects, but really completely different, the words as well. So sometimes with other people from different island, we don't know each other when we speak in our own local languages. But when we use Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language, so we can understand them.
Right, so there's one central language in Indonesia, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many different dialects.
That's right. Because, as obviously in a school, in the office, I mean government obviously, we always use Bahasa Indonesia. Then.
Baha Indonesia.
Bahasa. Bahasa. Bahasa, it means a language. So Indonesian language.
Oh, Bahasa Indonesia. Yeah. Okay.
That in the Malay.
Anam, can you tell me a little bit about your own family history here in Bali?
I was born and I live in Bali as a Balinese people. This is I live on a quite small island. Bali Island itself is very, very small island with a population is about 4 million inhabitants. And I'm a Balinese. If you know, Indonesia majority are Muslim for the religion, but especially Balinese people, more than 94.6% we are Hindu from the 4 million the population.
That's amazing. So yeah, I think a lot of us have the assumption that it's the majority of the population is Muslim, but there are five main religions here in Indonesia. Is that correct?
Yes. Exactly, that's correct. I mean, formerly, Indonesian people are animists before we accepted any kind of religion. Firstly, about the 5th century, back to the ancient time, so the first religion we know and we learn as well, that is Hindu. Yes, that's from some of the trader, even from the Dutch periods as well, because as you know, our country is about 300 years. it's conquered by the Dutch on the time before independent in 1945. So the last 3 years is conquered by the Japanese.
Tell me about the good and the evil. We understand as we drive around the different sites in Bali here that a lot of the statues or shrines are covered in the black and white cloth. And I understand that represents the good and the evil. So can you tell us a little bit about what that really means?
We just live together with the nature here. So everything we believe have a spirit, just like Indian people. And they spoke to their gods by smoke. Even here we use an incense stick as well.
Spend just a day in Bali and one thing becomes quite clear. Temples play a huge role in this society.
Tell us about the four different kinds of temples.
Okay, once again, as a Hindu people here, so I would like to tell you, here is not real 100% of Hinduism, but we mix 60% is still we following of our tradition and custom, and only 40% of the Hinduism itself. So in the Bali, if you compare with it in India, I mean, it's a completely different. We just still following how the way to do in worshiping as a Hindu people to the temple. Also completely different. As you know, in India itself, there are more than 400 different sekte there. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly because I've been many time as it's a Balinese people going to went to India. Mm-hmm. So if someone or one family, they just pray or just believe to one god, so they don't going for a praying to other gods or even goddess as well. But in Bali, all of the goddess and god, that is mean is more universal. All of them, we pray for them. It depend what in manifestation and also what in their function as well. And so why in Bali we have four different kind of temple. One is a public temple. Public temple. So for example, like now this Tanah Lot temple to be one of the public temple we have in this island. And then territorial temple, there are three temple in every villages. In Bali itself, there are more than 800 villages. So you can count because Bali sometimes also is well-known 1,000 temple island. That's territorial temple, there are three main temple in every village. And then family temple.
So tell us what the three temples are.
The three temple in every village, that is called Dalam temple, where the place we worship with Siwa as destroyer god.
The sea.
No, Siwa.
Siwa.
Okay. And then Baleagung or village temple itself, desa temple, that the place we worship Brahma as a creator god. And then Wisnu we call Pusa temple. We worship Wisnu as preserver god.
Oh, for god.
Yes.
Molly, you mentioned at the top that your favorite part of our trip so far was our visit to Pengla Puran traditional village. And I have to say that was also, it's also mine. I'll never forget that experience. We were met at the gate of the village by the chief and all of his warriors in traditional garb that dates back I don't know how many centuries. They brought us up a rise to the clubhouse of the tribe. And we sat there with a view that was just so immense, looking out over a big, broad valley. And in the distance were high, towering mountains. They treated us to rice wine and gave us many blessings and offerings and toasts. And then there were traditional dances done. Oh, and meanwhile, the women of the village were placed on a cliff very close by, looking down on this whole scene, watching us. Then there were traditional dances by the males. Then some of the women came and did traditional dances. And then there were traditional courting dances between men and women. Then we were allowed to take part in the dances. What a fun and exciting day that was.
I'm Molly Blaisdell. Thank you for joining Susie Rodriguez and me on our journey to Bali. Visit us next time as we report from Komodo Island, home of the notorious Indonesian dragons. Komodo dragons, that is.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,